Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are, and happy Friday to you on this. I know it doesn't feel like a Friday to me either. The sixth day of July 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and overnight, while you were sleeping, the war began. Yes, the war between the United States and China. The trade war, which everybody's been talking about, but it finally hit. And it hit midnight last night is the tariffs went into effect. The United States laid $34 billion worth of tariffs on Chinese imports. And China, 545 products, I believe it is. And they China immediately turned around and had a list of 545 products worth $34 billion that they're slapping tariffs on as well. So we've been talking about it. We've been ruminating about it. And so now it has happened. We have actually, I mean, it's been building, and certainly a lot of companies, we talked to some of you in the audience who own businesses or work at businesses where your prices have been affected by just the talk of tariffs. So in the bigger scope of things, it is it's like any war. It's an economic war, but it's like any war. Best laid plans about what's going to happen and what you're going to do next and all the different strategies that you have. If you read any books about military strategy, you throw the book out right after the war starts, because then you cannot predict what's going to happen. You just cannot. And it's the same with this. This is not a military war. It's an economic war. And we don't know what's going to happen. But it's a tough topic, because I know the history of trade tariffs, and my impression of trade tariffs, everybody loses. And like a war, one side has the advantage over the other. And I do believe the United States has a much bigger advantage over China. So therefore, if you were president of the United States, you go, well, then fine, we have the upper hand. But like any war, there are casualties on both sides. And the casualties have already started. There's stories in the media. The media is going to go nuts with these stories. Just wait. They're going to show some empty factory in the middle of the country somewhere where everybody's been laid off in some small town. Because whatever the product is that they make, they export it to China, and now they can't sell their products over there because of the tariffs. And so, and China knows how to play this game. They are focusing on products that come from primarily the Midwest. Not exclusively, but there's a lot of the products that come from the Midwest, and that is Trump country. And so a lot of Trump supporters are going to be some of the casualties. And the question will be, will Americans be willing to hold out while this goes on? We don't know how long it goes on. The Wall Street Journal has a piece today. U.S. and China dig in for a long trade fight. And the longer it goes, the worse it gets, the more casualties there are. But we're talking about $34 billion. And yeah, there will be some people that will lose their jobs here in the U.S. because of this. There will be more people in China that will be hurt than by Americans. But China is already also not only targeting products from Trump country, but they're also quickly dusting off their relationships with Europe and with South America. And they're saying, hey, Europe, You know, Trump's talking about you guys are next. So why don't we just do a deal and cut the United States out of it? We'll sell Chinese products to you, Europe, and Europe, you can sell your products to us, and we won't have a lot of tariffs on them, or if any. So it's not, this is the first shot. It's a 25% levy on $34 billion worth of goods. So everything on this list goes up by 25%. But then the other question will be, is Canada and Europe and Mexico, are they going to play with us, or are they going to play with China? And are they going to do business with China, and China will do business with them, and China is already pushing a trade alliance with all of these other countries, hoping that they will have a marketplace for their goods so they won't be adversely hit. But here's the other little problem, is that this is the first shot, and there are more shots coming. There is, the president has already come out and said that he is willing to bump this up to $200 billion from $34 billion. And then on top of that, there are reports that he is willing, he hasn't said it out loud, but the reports are he is willing to put a tariff, a 25% tariff, on every single solitary thing, product, service, whatever it might be that comes from China. Just shut them down at our border. When they come with a product, it's going to be much more expensive. Now, who's going to pay for those products? Well, you and I are. Until we have companies and factories that make the same product here in the U.S., but they're not going to be as cheap. So the prices, this becomes inflationary. Prices go up, whether we buy products from China with a tariff on it, or whether we buy products made in America that may be somewhat more expensive than what we're already paying. On the other hand, China has gotten away with murder, effective economic murder, for a long time. Not just China, Europe, you name it, Mexico, Canada. They have, and this is the part that I look at and I go, everybody loses in a trade war. We're going to have casualties in this country. But at the same time, they have absolutely taken advantage of us for decades, for up to 30 years. And what their plan is to eventually make it so that we are without a lot of abilities to make products and services in this country that we used to make in this country, that they will have total control over. And once they have total control, they can yank it right out from underneath us and leave us high and dry. So this is a national security measure. Whether or not it's something that has to do with the Air Force or NASA, but just jobs, just people in this country having jobs. So be prepared for an economic adjustment in the cost of things. And inflation is officially fairly mild right now. This will take, where are we? July. Yeah, by the time the holidays come around, by the time we get to November, December, start watching for the stories about the impacts of this trade war. It takes a while. 3-4 months, and you will see the stories about so-and-so lost their job, such-and-such company shut down, prices for widgets are now up dramatically this year, inflation is going higher, the Fed therefore will have to raise interest rates, and it will slow down our economy. Trade wars almost always slow down an economy. Because a lot of companies right now are sitting on their hands going, what do we do? What do we do? I saw a reporter at a bourbon factory in Louisville. And she was talking about the fact that she was in this aging room. I don't know which bourbon factory she was in. But there, she was in an aging room, and she was surrounded by barrels of whiskey that were aging. You know how long it takes for a barrel of whiskey to age? Takes 6 years. So when you are planning your production of whiskey and how many employees you need and everything else, you've got to look out 6 years in the future. Well, that's... They didn't see a trade war coming in 2018 when they first made the batch of whiskey in 2012. But here we are. So I don't know what your reaction is to this. But you will start noticing it between now and the end of the year, depending upon what the product is. I've got a list of products. A lot of it are farm products, and that is soybeans, lobsters, bourbon, cotton, tobacco, airplane tires, oil and gas drilling platform parts, lithium batteries, ball bearings, medical equipment, x-ray machines. So it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's 545 products, $34 billion, $34 billion worth of tariffs on 545 products. We whipped them last night, and they immediately whipped us right back with the same exact trade tariffs. It could go to $200 billion. It could go to $500 billion. Could go to every single product that comes in from China. 855-295-6600. Are you ready? Are you okay for this war? We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So the president said two, 3 weeks ago about China has agreed to buy $200 billion more of U.S. products, but I don't know where that has gone. If it was true, it's disappeared. But we don't, by the way, in the threat to raise the tariffs on our side by another $200 billion, they're working on the list right now, and they say they won't have that ready to go until late in the fall. So one of the political angle to this is that the political brain trust sits around and thinks about the midterms coming in November. Everybody in Washington thinks about the next election. So that's coming up in November. So they put the finger in the air and weigh the wind and go, which way is the wind blowing on this? And they think, the Republicans, think that this... if they ramp up another $200 billion worth of trade tariffs in the fall, as we get close to November, that it will be a political winner, that people will like the fact that Trump is fighting back against China, and it will be a positive politically. So that's the political angle to this whole thing. But we have been clearly taken advantage of for a long, long time. And this president is the first one to really, really push back. Been a long time since we've seen a real trade war in this country. The last big one was Smoot-Hawley back in the 30s, which was blamed for the straw that broke the camel's back for putting us from a big recession into the Great Depression of the 1930s. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Mike in California. Hi, Mike. Thanks for waiting. How are you?
Hey, hi. Okay, so I'm great. And listen, I love Trump, and Trump is not stupid. Everybody thinks he's stupid, especially the media. They come up with all kinds of crap, okay? Here's what Trump, here's all he has to do, okay? Put the tariffs on. If they want to hit us with tariffs, fine, go ahead. We pull back every stinking cent of aid we give to any country. We pull back, we prohibit the importation of any products from there, even by companies of our own.
So what you're saying is you're an isolationist, right?
Yeah. You know why?
Because what does history say about isolationist economic policies that are isolationist? They fail.
I'm saying
every one of them.
We would back off from that. We would eventually back off from that. Look, these countries, every single country in the world is like the 30-year-old kid with 2 degrees who won't leave home. Okay? And when they do leave home, they still call you and say, Mom, I can't pay my cell phone bill. And Mom pays the cell phone bill because she wants to be in touch with Junior. Okay? We are stupid. And Trump is telling us in a nice way how stupid we are, and there's all kinds of things he can do. Now, here's the thing. With the prices of products going up, all he has to do is subsidize those industries through the war. The war will be short. Okay?
Through who?
Nobody has to lose their job.
Wait a minute. You want government to subsidize private companies? Really?
Yes. Anytime. We do it all the time.
Wait a minute. What did you think of Barack Obama when he subsidized Solyndra? Were you for that?
No, but that wasn't a trade war. Okay.
But that was the government subsidizing a private sector company, and that's exactly what you just suggested we should do. So if it was bad for Obama to do it, it's good for Trump to do the same thing?
Mike, you're not making
an intelligent argument. Sorry.
I don't see why not. I mean, if they're going to...
If you can't see it, I understand you can't see it, but I'm telling you what you're suggesting is isolationism. I call you on that. You go, no. That's not what I'm talking about. But we'll back off on that. Okay. And then you say to subsidize the private sector, the government getting involved in the private sector. Are you kidding me?
Well, hey, right? Listen, they're going to do it anyway. When people lose their jobs, they're going to be paying unemployment anyway, federal unemployment and
fine
state unemployment.
But you don't write a check. You don't write a check to General Motors or IBM. Or Apple Computer. Mike, I'm sorry. I don't think you have a clue what you're talking about. I got to go. Wow. Phone number is 855-295-6600. It was terrible that Obama gave money to Solyndra, but Trump, it's okay if he does it.
When you talk back, Tom Sullivan.
So let me make sure you understand. I am for what the president is doing. I'm just warning you that there will be some casualties. I think we have been taken advantage of for a very long period of time. But I am with the president on fair trade, where we haven't had fair trade. And I love the fact that he said to the G7 leaders, it was a funny story. He said, look, I looked around at him and I said, well, why don't we just get rid of all of our tariffs? Everybody have no tariffs. We just do business with each other without tariffs. And they all just about fell off their chairs and changed the subject. I think that would be the goal. And the president has suggested it, but the other leaders of the G7 choked on it, did not know what to do. And I'm not an isolationist. I am all for fair trade, but I am no way an isolationist. And the last caller, what bothered me was he was talking about becoming an isolationist and having the government give money to the private sector. Let me give you an isolationist, the reason why isolationism has always failed. I'll break it down. I won't use some big economic theory. I'll break it down to you and your household. So you decide that you and your family in your home are going to become isolationist. You're not going to do business with anybody else, which means you don't go to the grocery store. You grow your own food. You don't go to the shoe store. You cobble things together in your house to make shoes. You don't go and buy anything from anybody. And you can survive. There are people that survive doing that sort of thing. They call them the Amish people. They do. And yet it's a lot easier and a lot better life if you can do business with other people who do it better, faster, cheaper than you can try doing it yourself. We all have our skills. I hire electricians because I don't want to even begin to know what to do in that department. You rely on other people. Isolationist to the extreme is you rely on nobody. And as a result, you get weaker. Heather Long, who is the economics editor for the Washington Post, she says that the tariffs will have a ripple effect on American companies. Cut eight. Cut eight.
We are in a trade war now, and if you're the average American, you have to start to get concerned. At the moment, the impact is still very small. That's why unemployment continues to be very low. The economy continues to grow. But there are tangible impacts that are starting to happen. There was a factory in Missouri that's already laid off workers because of these tariffs. We are starting to see some prices rise across the economy, for example, on washing machines. And the most worrying thing of all is some companies are starting to say that they aren't expanding or that they are scaling back their plans for the future. That means this impact could get worse as the months go on.
Yeah. So, and that factory in Missouri was that nail factory who gets their steel from Mexico. So that's the kind of stories I think you'll see more of, that sort of thing. I don't think this is at $34 billion. I don't want you to hyperventilate about this. This is kind of small potatoes. But it will have an impact. It'll be small, but it will have an impact. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Shane in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Shane.
Hi, Tom. Love the show. I just wanted to call in and say I support the tariffs and give you a reason why and maybe how they can be a positive thing. The reason why is because there wouldn't be any better time to do tariffs if you're going to do them than in the economy we're in now. And how it could possibly be a positive thing is if, and I'm unclear on this, so maybe you can help me and the rest of the audience, where does the money go from the tariffs? I'm assuming it goes to the federal government. And I will agree with the last caller that...
No. Government doesn't get a dime. How would the government get a dime?
It goes to the manufacturer.
It goes to the... let's take Nike. Nike is based in Portland, Oregon. They make tennis shoes in somewhere in China, let's say. I don't know. They're overseas somewhere. So Nike is selling their shoes, and I don't know who a competitor would be. Adidas? I'm not quite sure. So they've got competitors, but they're trying to sell their shoes. Their shoes come in, and let's say it costs Nike $10 to make a pair of shoes. Now, when they hit the country, they've got the cost to them has gone up. It's now $12.50 because of the tariff. The product is more expensive, which means that they will sell less of their products, and that the U.S.-made tennis shoes will be more competitive or maybe cheaper in the future. So the government doesn't get a money to fund a company with. That's where you're going. You don't want the government giving money to companies. You just don't.
Okay. Well, I was thinking that the tariffs that were being used on products that are being imported could be used to subsidize the companies that are impacted by their exports to China. And you would balance it because it's essentially supply and demand. Demand is, a large part of demand is predicated on price. And if exporters find that, you know, it's so expensive, they would bring those products to the American market. The supply increases, the consumer benefits from a lower price because of greater supply. And to the extent that those companies are impacted that are exporting, you would use the tariff money to subsidize them.
Well, first of all,
I think it's a fairly complicated.
It's not that complicated. First of all, the revenue that the government would get would be minimal. Secondly, is who with the government is going to decide which U.S. companies would get whatever money they want to give to them? You got the government now picking winners and losers in the private sector. That goes against everything our capitalist economic system is built upon. The government, I mean, we talk about separation of church and state. Man, you do not want the government. I mean, the government has done it, and people have howled when they've gotten involved in whether it's Solyndra or the General Motors bankruptcy or whatever it is where the government sticks their nose in it. People scream, and rightfully so, because you don't want the government saying, well, I'll give some money to this company because I think they've been hurt. No, you want the free market to determine this. The real goal of a tariff isn't for the government to raise money. The real goal is to make it so that their products are more expensive and less competitive than to the products made here in the U.S. You want to boost the U.S. tennis shoe maker at the expense of the Chinese-made tennis shoe maker. That's really what it comes down to.
That makes sense to me, and I support that. And I would not support the taxpayers subsidizing private companies.
Yeah.
I was suggesting that to the extent that the subsidies or the tariffs would be used to subsidize those companies.
There is some revenue from the tariffs, but it's minimal. Minimal. It would not be able to be achieved on some sort of subsidy program. Besides that, you don't want to go there. You don't want to.
Well, thank you for your example on Nike. That makes more sense.
You bet. Shane, thank you. I appreciate the call very much. Phone number is 855-295-6600. The goal is not for the U.S. to raise money for the government. It really is to basically make it so that their products are more expensive and don't sell as well here. We'll be right back. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
Let me make sure we're on the same page here. So I don't mean to pick on Nike. I like Nike. But it costs $10 to make a pair of tennis shoes, let's say. And there's a 25% tariff on them. So it's now $12.50. So that's the cost that Nike has, $12.50. It was $10. So they're not going to make as much money. And they have to pay that tariff. That's a tariff that gets paid to the government. So, but that's their cost. So now it's the cost of paying $10 to the people in China and $2.50 to the government on the tariff. So their costs are higher. So either they take less profit or they have to raise their prices in order to make the same profit they made before, which will make them less competitive all the way around. It'll weaken the company, or they're going to have to raise their prices above the competitors that are made here in the U.S. And if you take that 25, the reason why I say it's not about government revenue. In a $4 trillion economy, $34 billion worth of tariffs will give the government $8 billion. What are they going to do with that $8 billion? It's a rounding error in government accounting. So this is not about raising revenue for the government. And God forbid that these ideas that you guys have about giving the money to the to companies, that $8 billion would not go very far. And secondly, you don't want that. You don't want that to happen. It'll get gobbled up in some wasted money out of Washington, D.C. Robert in California. Robert, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thank you, Tom. First time, long time.
Welcome.
So you had said earlier that thank you. So you had said earlier that we had been taken advantage of for a long time, and with trade. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But with trade, but I don't really think we have, because we've really been the leader in the world when it's come to this. Like, our corporations have made money hand over fist off of free trade. And the whole reason why they do that is because they ship all their workers out to countries that have less labor laws than us.
Right.
So, you know, out here you have to pay, you know, maybe I got to pay 1,000 people $15 an hour plus health insurance, plus workers, you know, all these things.
Hello, China. Hello, Mexico. Hello, Vietnam. Yes, much cheaper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not that their trade practices are what's unfair to us. It's their labor laws. And the whole object of this whole trade thing from the very beginning, I remember when I was in high school back in the 90s looking at, you know, Clinton when he signed into a lot of this trade, when he signed NAFTA and a lot of companies went to Mexico. The whole thing was to try and curb immigration and to try and get their economy going. He even gave them a big loan back then to try and strengthen the peso.
True.
Because we were having the same problems back then that we were having, that we're almost having now.
Yes, yes, so, it looks the same.
So to me, it's not that they're taking advantage of trade. Is trade. I mean, these goods are these goods.
Yeah, but here's
it's
the deal.
How much do you want to pay for them?
But here's the deal.
Go ahead.
You've got a company, and you own this company, and you've worked hard, you've built this company up, and it's so successful that you want to go over and start a company in Beijing. You want to start it, or Shanghai, or someplace. And you go over there, and they say, well, Robert, you've got a partner now. It's I'm your partner, whether you like it or not. And oh, by the way, this operation you have over here, you can't own 50% of it. I get the majority ownership. So I get a lot of the fruits of your labor. I also get all of your technology and wizardry that you came up with for nothing other than just making it so that you can buy cheap Chinese labor. And we have allowed that to happen. I think one of the first things I would do is say, great, China will do the same thing. You want to come here? You've got to have a 51% American partner. You can't come in here and own a company. You've got to have an American owned company.
And things like that are what are the smart things to do in this, rather than just say, okay, I'm going to slam up a bunch of tariffs and blah, 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 and I'm going to, you know, do this and do that. There's way better ways to do it. But
I think
because,
so.
You know, Trump is Trump, and he likes the outrage, or at least that's what I'll say. I know he.
Well,
that's
why I brought up the political angle. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but the political wizards are thinking that it will be beneficial for Republicans come the midterm, saying, we're fighting China, vote for me. And people will go, oh,
exactly.
It's a very populist, it's a populist argument. And there will be people go, yes.
What? It's crazy, because at the end of the day, I mean, even at work, some of the doctors I work with, or even patients, people, they all say, to me, it's kind of all the same arguments, or all the same thing. And when you talk to them and you have an educated argument, it always defaults back to the same thing, Hillary Clinton. And I can't, listened to your show last week, and I heard you get so upset with callers about it, and I tried to call you to get in there because I wanted to tell you, invoking Hillary Clinton when you don't like something is not a constitutional right. And she's not a reason.
I know, but I was in the car. When was I? I was in the car last night. When did he go to Montana? Was it yesterday? And I was listening, and he had a stem winder going, and he mentioned Hillary, and you know what happened next? Lock her up. So,
and it's ridiculous, because
it works.
At the end of the day, it's not that his supporters have to me, this is the way I feel, and I'm not trying to be controversial, but what I say is, it's not that you have an intellectual argument against the things that are going on in this country. Some of you do in your dissent. You know, when it comes to dissent, only one person probably really has a great argument in the dissent, and everybody else just doesn't like it. And that's my point. They just don't like it.
That's what it came down to. That's what it came down to. Which one do you like the least? Yeah.
We're held hostage by all of this in our country, and now here we are attacking trade, something that has been very simple and very profitable for all of us throughout the world.
Well, and now I think it needs to be fixed. I think it needs to be balanced, and it's not. So, but this is his way of doing it. Anyway, Robert, thank you.
I do
appreciate the call. I want to get one more caller in before the end of the hour. Steve in Windsor, California.
Yes.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You're sitting there in wine country, right?
You bet your booty I am.
Yeah.
So listen, I want to first thank you for addressing this issue. I'm 68 years old. I'm on Social Security. I've been watching these changes go on for not 30 years, but 40 or 50 years. And I think, you know, first of all, I concur with everything you've said. You've made wonderful points. You know, I'm not an